It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. How much coverage of this year's Democratic National Convention have you seen that makes comparisons to the DNC in Chicago 1968?
Members of the Youth International Party, Yippies they called themselves, converged on Chicago. They said they were there to protest the war, poverty, racism, and other social ills. Some of them were also determined to provoke a confrontation, to draw attention from the convention to the streets. Mayor Richard Daley vowed to keep it peaceful, even if it took force to keep the peace. He was backed by 12,000 police, 5,000 National Guardsmen, 7,500 regular Army troops.
We spent part of yesterday's show on 1968 here, so I guess guilty as charged. But one of the reasons people have been making this comparison is that this year's Democratic convention was also expected to draw protesters. But this time, rather than being the culmination of years of anger and frustration coming out of the civil rights movement and with Americans dying in Vietnam, this year, the protests are about America's support for Israel and the way in which Israel and Hamas's war in Gaza has led to tens of thousands of Palestinian civilian casualties.
Tonight, Chicago's guard is already up. Fencing lining the streets, roads closed off to vehicles. A large protective zone built around the United Center. Chicago's top cop says there are no specific incredible threats, but to expect a heavy police presence throughout the city.
It's a huge project, but the Chicago Police Department and the city as a whole is used to working towards something this large.
Looming over the convention is the promise of large-scale protests just blocks from the United Center. Despite months of legal battles over the protest area, the largest demonstration is expected to draw more than 20,000 people.
20,000 people, according to that report from Chicago TV News. Did the organizers actually meet their expectations? Joining us now to talk about what they've seen on the ground is Quinn Myers, reporter for Block Club Chicago. Quinn, welcome to the 21st Show. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, yeah, thank you so much for having me.
So you were in the Union Park area yesterday as protesters gathered there. What did you see?
I was there for several hours as protesters filtered in. There were numerous speakers. There was about a two-hour-long rally to kick things off. And this is a coalition of pro-Palestinian groups who had a very long, extensive back and forth with the city over whether or not they would even be permitted to march, where they could march, if they could have amplified sound in a stage during their rally in Union Park. So I showed up pretty early. I showed up about 9:30 in the morning, and they had a press conference. And slowly but surely, several thousand people did filter in for the rally, a few thousand for the rally, and then several more thousand, I would say, for the march, but definitely short of that 20 to 25,000 number that some organizers were expecting. I would say a maximum in the march maybe of 7,000 to 8,000. Organizers say it was much more, and police say it was much less. That was my rough count watching this rally and protest move forward. But it was pretty sizable, and it moved throughout kind of the near west side there, close but not too close to the United Center. And there were a few hiccups, which I'm sure we can get into. But ultimately, yeah, I would say maybe roughly 7,000 people were there.
Yeah, it's interesting. I saw another report saying they thought it was 3,000. So maybe it just depends on where you were standing and what technique people use. It's so hard to estimate these things. So what you mentioned some hiccups. How did the protesters go about their day? What were they doing?
Sure. So there was an extended rally. It was about 2 hours long. Numerous speakers speaking out against the U.S. Support of Israel for their current war in Gaza against about 40,000 Palestinians who have been killed in response to Hamas's October 7th attack, which killed about 1,200 people and took about 250 hostages. So it was speaker after speaker calling on the U.S. government and Democratic politicians in particular, who were just a few blocks away, to end U.S. aid to Israel, to end weapons shipments to Israel. They also called for a ceasefire, of course, in Gaza, but that was almost a secondary call beyond the U.S. aid, which was kind of the central focus. And then, you know, they marched the planned city approved route for the march took them north of the United Center. It's about 1.1 miles. And protesters had really been hoping for a longer 2.4-ish mile route. They had been in court with the city to try to get that approved. it was not. This took them about 2 to 3 blocks north of the United Center. And in particular, there is a park there that goes by the name Park 578. It doesn't even have a real name, just a number. But this is where the city has set up a kind of designated free speech zone. They have a demonstration platform where you can sign up and get a 45-minute block. And the march went right through there. And this is kind of where yesterday afternoon, several hours into the rally, and then about an hour into the march, things got a little tricky and hairy. And this is where I would say things became not peaceful. And I do want to mention the vast majority of the march continued on the route, of protesters on the route, and were peaceful. About 50 to maybe 70 protesters broke through a security fence at the southern end of Park 578. I was watching it with several of my colleagues, and they kind of jumped onto Washington Boulevard, which is the outer security perimeter around the United Center. It's also important to note there were still numerous fences between them and the United Center. This ultimately led to a standoff with police that saw at least several people get arrested. But for the most part, it did not devolve into violence. I think several people were perhaps maybe trying to get arrested, but the majority of people who did break through that barrier were pushed slowly back into the park by police, and then police ultimately cleared the entire park. So it was kind of a smaller, depending on who you ask, hiccup in the larger rally and protest.
Yeah, so many directions I want to go in after this. So I'm looking at a picture that's with your story. I think it was your colleague Talia Sprague, if I'm saying mm-hmm. that right. Mm-hmm. There's somebody wearing camouflage pants and with a gas mask and goggles on. There's other people just wearing keffiyehs and sort of COVID style face masks, as we've seen in a lot of these demonstrations. How mm-hmm. would you describe the majority of protesters? And I guess a lot of people may have in their minds the image of January 6th, where people clearly came itching for a fight, right? And they brought improvised weapons and things. Describe how, is that a minority of what you saw, or a majority? How would you characterize this crowd?
Certainly a minority. I think a majority of people were there to march peacefully. People, if they're wearing masks, I don't think it was to obscure their identity. For the most part, it was maybe perhaps a COVID precaution. But yes, there were a small group of people who definitely were obscuring their faces and, were trying to start something here, I think. We're trying to, agitate and get closer to the United Center and to cause a scene for their cause, whatever cause that is, whether it's a pro-Palestinian cause or another one. Again, out of the thousands of people who marched yesterday, this was a few dozen who did end up breaking through, and there were a handful of arrests. But I would say for the most part, people were open and, loud and fired up, but also ultimately very peaceful.
I got to say, going back to this idea of a free speech zone in Park 578, it sounds like something out of a dystopian novel. Talk about the rules that were established. You mentioned there were court fights leading up to this. It doesn't really seem like it's in keeping with the spirit of protest, right, to have so many pens and hems and rules around it. But talk about how that evolved.
Yeah, for months, protest groups have been trying to get permits to march with what they say within sight and sound of the DNC, and specifically the United Center. Right, they don't want to be shunted off to Grant Park or somewhere where delegates aren't going to see them and hear their message. So there have been some compromises. Ultimately, the route that was chosen, this kind of roughly 1 mile route, was a compromise. I think the protest organizers would say it's not a compromise because they didn't agree to it. They wanted the longer route that got them closer, but this got them within a few blocks, and this is kind of how the city accommodated them. The city also set up this, what they're calling a demonstration speakers platform. This is in Park 578, which is, you can see the United Center, so it's certainly within sight and sound. And there's an application process where you can sign up to speak there, and there are these kind of 45-minute increments and chunks. It is kind of, I think that was frustrating to a lot of protesters yesterday, even the ones who did not break through the fence or didn't even think about trying to get closer. It is kind of this message, you can have free speech, but in this very confined area, right? But of course, there is intense security around the United Center, and for good reason too. So I think they are trying to juggle those security concerns with the free speech concerns, right? So depending on who you ask, those were in balance yesterday, or they were not. So I'm expecting more protests to go through there today. There are some unsanctioned protests happening as soon as tonight. So we'll see if the temperature does get ratcheted up here.
All right, let me remind listeners, if you're joining us, this is the 21st show, and we're talking about the demonstration that occurred yesterday in downtown Chicago, where primarily pro-Palestinian protesters rallied against the DNC as it was beginning yesterday. We're talking about this with Quinn Myers, who was covering this for Block Club Chicago, where he's a reporter and, again, was on the ground. From what you talk to a number of the protesters, what is their reasoning for protesting the DNC as opposed to the Republican National Convention or doing both?
Yeah, certainly both, although there was a much smaller protest up at the RNC in Milwaukee last month, a pro-Palestinian rally. I think they see the Democratic Party as being in charge. President Biden has been in charge since Israel began their war in Gaza against Hamas. And B, I think they feel like they might have a more sympathetic ear among some of the Democratic politicians for their cause to, certainly call for a ceasefire and also calls to end U.S. aid to Israel. The Democratic Party is pretty split on Israel in general and on their war in Gaza. You've seen many politicians call for a ceasefire. Others have not gone that far and, have been much more pro-Israel, supporting their response so far. So I think they think this is their chance to really disrupt and hopefully get their message across, into ears that may hear them or may be more sympathetic than Republicans maybe. So that's kind of the general, in broad strokes, what I heard yesterday from people. Certainly there were, I think a lot of people there were farther to the left than the Democratic Party. I don't know how many of them would actually be supporting Harris when it comes down to it. Some people I spoke with said they were not going to. Some said they probably would end up doing so more as an anti-Trump vote than a pro-Kamala Harris vote.
Yeah, interesting. One of the things that was talked about leading into this convention is the role of Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson. And we talked with a Politico reporter, Jonathan Martin, a month or two ago, and he had been hearing from top Democrats. They were a little nervous about the fact that Johnson comes from that sort of activist background. He was a leader with the Chicago Teachers Union, and maybe he would be a little more sympathetic to the protesters than the convention organizers. I wonder how you've seen that play out, at least as, from the protester perspective that you've talked to.
Sure. He's walking, Mayor Brandon Johnson is walking this fine line because the movement that backed him, the movement that took him into office last year, is a lot of the people who are out in the streets right now and who have had disputes with his very administration over the route and over the amplification and all of these issues, right? So it is a kind of awkward position to be in, and the mayor is really trying to find that line between running the city and keeping order and staying true to his roots and to his ideals, I think. So he's, protesters yesterday, they've made a really clear distinction to criticize the city, criticize the administration, the law department, but praise Mayor Brandon Johnson. And it's, a kind of a tricky line for them too. Johnson this week in an interview, I think it was with Mother Jones, kind of a left of center, certainly publication. He called what Israel is doing in Gaza genocidal. And that was brought up at a press conference ahead of yesterday's rally. And he was received a lot of praise from organizers for making those comments. And they, Hatem Abudaya, who's kind of the spokesperson leader of the Coalition to March on the DNC, he praised Mayor Brandon Johnson. And, he said he's been on the forefront of this issue. So I thought that was interesting because they are really, kind of trying to keep him off of their criticisms of the larger city. So I think the mayor has, done an okay job handling that as well. He's also on stage with top Democrats who don't necessarily agree with him on his own views. So it's a tricky line to walk. I'm curious to see how it goes, especially if protests continue to kind of get a little more intense. So far, they have been almost entirely peaceful with, the exception of what we just talked about.
Yeah, and there's another big one scheduled for Thursday night, I guess. I do want to ask, there was a small pro-Israeli counter-protest. What did you see there yesterday?
Yeah, there were, I would say, about 30 counter-protesters holding Israeli flags marched through Union Park. They were pretty silent. They didn't chant or anything. They just stood on the edge and kind of watched, but definitely made their presence feel known. I believe there is another pro-Israel rally at 5 p.m. on Wednesday. Again, these are definitely going to be smaller in numbers than the pro-Palestinian protests. And It was interesting. I've seen two counter protests, the two protests I've covered, the Israeli marchers, and then a very small pro-life contingent on Sunday night's protest. Police have been trained for this, it seems like, because they clearly are coming in and putting themselves and their bicycles between themselves, between the main protest and the counter protesters, to really kind of make sure there is no exchange beyond words, I guess. They've been trained to kind of de-escalate these situations. And I've seen that happen twice now. Yesterday, the counter protesters in Union Park were surrounded by police. You could walk up to them, but it definitely created this perimeter in case there would be a possible altercation. We'll see if the pro-Israel rally on Wednesday has counter-protesters. So that one from the pro-Palestinian world. So that remains to be seen.
Mm. All right. Just about a minute left in our time together. What are you going to be watching for the rest of this week?
Well, I wish I could take a nap right now, I would say, we'll be out there. There is a unsanctioned protest by tonight outside the Israeli consulate from behind enemy lines. This is a pretty radical protest group. They were involved in the flag burning incident outside City Hall that swept up Chicago Alderman Byron Sicho Lopez. That could get intense. I'm expecting a lot of police there. And a lot of protesters. But beyond that, I think overwhelmingly Chicago police are kind of in de-escalation mode. They are not fanning the flames of this. And, you know, the comparisons to 1968 have abounded, but I would say that is so far not a fair comparison at all. We've seen mostly peaceful marches, people expressing their First Amendment rights. So I'm going to keep an eye on that. Are we going to see a ramping up of tensions, or is it going to kind of be this mostly mellow scene that we've seen so far?
Quinn Myers, reporter with Block Club Chicago. Thank you for being on the ground, and thank you for sharing your reporting with us. Much appreciated.
Thanks so much.
More to come after a short break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.